Hey everyone, what is up? It is Jeff from Modern Combat and Survival, and welcome to podcast episode number 301. Okay, so the hooligans are out in the streets, rioting and looting, following the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man killed by police officers while he was handcuffed and lying there helpless on the ground. Now today, there are over 5,000 National Guard troops deployed to urban protest areas around the country. But, big surprise, that protection is not just for little old you. So this week I thought I'd share with you 10 quick tips for avoiding, escaping, and evading civil unrest to protect yourself and your loved ones. Now it's all coming right up, but don't worry about taking notes because we've done all the heavy lifting for you with this week's free show notes, including a handy-dandy one-page cheat sheet covering all 10 tips. All you have to do is head on over to www.mcsmagazine.com/301 and download it all absolutely free. And now, let's talk tactics.
Tactical firearms training, urban survival, close quarters combat.
This is another podcast to help you better prepare for any threat you may face in your role as a protector and a patriot. This is Modern Combat and Survival.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jeff Anderson, editor for Modern Combat and Survival Magazine. And, yep, things are really heating up out there. We have seen burning buildings, burning police cars, and ass beatings galore. And it's probably not going to end in the next day or so, given that this is an ongoing, we've seen escalations of this over quite a few years now, but also from outside groups that are taking advantage of this opportunity to be able to create civil unrest out there, really to get their message out as well as just create pandemonium and chaos, right? And of course, a divided country that's already divided is getting even more divided by this, and we're seeing a lot of things heat up on both sides. So we are actually getting a war in the streets. Now, I also think that because of the cootie pandemic that we've been in, I think people are a little bit, well, one, just kind of been cooped up too long and maybe just a little bit wound too tight, not to mention with over, 10 million unemployed now, people need something to do during the day. So this sounds like a really cool thing to go and spend your time throwing bricks and setting things on fire, right? Well, the point is that these types of protests and rallies, they can happen anytime, anywhere, actually. But we're definitely seeing them more now because of the heightened tensions that we've seen actually for quite a while now. But again, the main point here is that these things can happen. They can spring up very impromptu in your area. They can come on at a moment's notice. And so you really have to be prepared for this type of thing, even if you feel like you're in a relatively safe area or you don't think that there's anything on the news related to any planned protests in your area. You just got to know that these things can happen, or you can be out somewhere in an area either that you know or don't know. You could be driving around. You could be traveling. You need to be prepared for any type of event like this whatsoever. So these 10 tips that I have for you today are going to really help you get a foundation here with some things that may be counter to what you might think would be the best thing to do. I know some of these definitely are. So even if you feel like you're up to speed on these things, I would definitely listen in because there might be some things in here that are directly against what you may have been told or trained or some other super duper expert online told you to do, okay? And this is actually from some of my own personal experience. Being in combat, I have had situations in urban areas where we have had looting, where we've had stores put on fire, where we've had people actually every day, average Joes and Janes who were looting stores. In fact, I've told the story several times about how we've actually looted for the sake of the safety of the people that were trying to get access to food and other items that were in different areas, but were basically attacking each other. And we in the military had to distribute basically these goods just to be able to keep things safe and keep people from getting harmed, believe it or not. So I've seen this type of thing firsthand, and there are some things that you really can do here, okay? All right, so I've got 10 tips here for you. And I've got them categorized in a few different things, all right? So one, let's start off with prevention, right? Because the best thing to do is to not be there if you don't have to be there, right? So tip number one is forewarned is forearmed. So yes, we have the local news. Yes, you can turn on the national news. You can see where these large urban centers are having problems. So, you know, stay out of Chicago, stay out of Los Angeles, stay out of New York. However, you never know when something might crop up even locally. So there are protests that are planned even in small towns and small urban centers. And you might not know when those come because the lines of communication for those are often very covert. They're done through different means of communication that's meant to not trigger the search engine so that they're not found. In other words, there might be images that are passed along rather than actual text. So a lot of things that these groups are doing out there to be able to organize events in areas where people might not be expecting it. And there are areas that there are communication means that you're typically not privy to. So what can you do to be forewarned? Well, one is to do a security assessment of where your home is. So one, are you in an urban area? Are you in a suburban area? Even suburban areas are getting hit with protests right now. So you want to be sure that you are, even if you're on the outskirts of the city, that you realize that you could be in a potential area of threat. Now, some of the things that might be a yellow flag for you there are, what are the types of stores that you might be around? So when we look at the things, the places that are typically looted, they are places like convenience stores, check cashing locations, places that will have goods that rioters will want to have. So it could be an electronics store, but you're looking for smaller type mom and pop things also. So it could be shoe stores where they might have sneakers that are commonly, that are more expensive out there. Even automotive stores, because a lot of people have vehicles that require, maybe need to be fixed. And so they're looking for areas of opportunity. Like if you got $5,000 checked to be able to go and take care of things that you need to take care of, like your bills or fix the car or your kids need new clothes or something, where are those things going to go? Where would you go? That's the same type of thing you want to think about here. So what are the grocery stores, even sporting goods stores? We've seen those looted as well, where people can get in, they can take ammunition, they can take firearms as well. All right. So doing a security assessment of your home really helps, but also even looking at apps that you can put on your phone. So one is to do a local news app and have the notifications turned on. So I live just on the outskirts of Austin. So Austin local news channels have their own news apps there. And if you keep the notifications on, you'll get notifications anytime that there's something that hits their radar, that's going to get hit really quickly because they're looking for these types of outbreaks of violence. All right. So that's one thing that you might be able to see on there. Another way that you can find out what's happening in your area is a police scanner. Now, you can have this as a physical police scanner that you actually have in your home that you can monitor channels for police, fire, EMS. But you can also find these now right as an app for your phone. So I have one for my phone now, basically, and just it's free. You just got, gizmo ads that are thrown at you every now and then. But I can listen to the Austin EMS, the Austin Police, the Austin Fire, their scanners and hear what's going on. So that's going to save you quite a bit of money on buying a police scanner. All right. So stay forewarned as much as you possibly can. It's tip number one. Tip number two is more of a mindset thing. And this guy kind of goes back to my introduction here, which is that don't count on the cavalry coming. All right. You are the only one who can protect you and your family. So when you look at where the police and the military and everybody is mobilized, where are they protecting? Are they centered around people's homes? No. They're guarding they're guarding basically the infrastructure of each one of the cities or towns. So the police departments, because that's where the protests are going to happen around there. City Hall is another area they're going to protect the county seat, the city seat. So those are the places that they are going to protect. The people out in the communities are pretty much left to deal with themselves, be able to protect themselves. So don't count on calling 911 and getting the police to show up because you've got a mob of people that are coming down your street. It's not going to happen. Don't count on the fire departments being out there because they are targeted just as much as police. Well, maybe not just as much as police, but they're certainly targeted as well. Don't count on the cavalry coming to take care of you. All right. So therefore, pay close attention to the rest of these tips. And tip number three in prevention is don't be there. Now, this is something that I talk about even in when it comes to our survival workshops that we have, is that civil unrest is one of those things, just like a hurricane coming in. If you think that you're in an area that could possibly be hit, if you think you're in a high threat zone, don't be there. Go and hit your evacuation plan, put it into action, and get the hell out of Dodge. You're not going to stop a mob from burning down your home or crashing your windows and taking everything inside of there. All you're going to do is, if that happens and you're there, I mean, they're not going to knock on your door and, oh, we didn't realize somebody was here. We won't smash your windows and take your stuff and burn your house. If you're there, you're just in the line of fire. So better to not be there and claim an insurance plan rather than having to protect your family when all of your when your house is in flames and you're trying to get them out of there, okay? So don't be there. If you have to ask the question of whether or not you should stay at your home because you're in a higher threat area, there's only one answer. Just get out of Dodge, all right? But sometimes it can surprise you. You might not think you're in a high threat area, but all of a sudden something was organized in your area, and sure enough, now you've got a mob of people coming down the street protesting, and they can surprise you either in your home or if you're out on the road driving or if you're walking. So let's go ahead and go into some of the tips now when it comes to it's go time, all right? So at home, let's talk about ways that are your home. So one is to camouflage your home. So this is counterintuitive to what a lot of people think when it comes to hardening your home. Don't be one of those chest thumpers. You know, when we were out in combat, we didn't wear a bright orange jumpsuit with a big old sign on it saying, I dare you to shoot me. We blended in. We wear camouflage. We don't want to be noticed by the enemy until we notice them first and we're able to take them out. So do not put up a looters will be shot sign out in front of your house. All right. Instead, you want to put up a giant "We stand with George" sign. All right. It's George Floyd. You want to make sure that, you know, if you want your house to not be targeted, then the people that are protesting, you want them to see your place as a potential, like basically a safe haven. Like basically it's a place that you stand with them. All right. So you want to camouflage your home as much as possible. That actually is hardening your home. And don't give me any of that chest thumping bravado of, well, damn it, this is America and I'm going to stand proud on my front porch with my shotgun and my cigar. And it's like, you go ahead and do that. I'm all about survival. And if I've got a mob of people there, well, stay tuned for tip number 10, because there might be a little bit of a wake up call there for you. All right. Tip number 5 is to harden your home. There are ways that you can actually harden your home. Breaking glass is a big threat. So if you are in your home and you do notice that there's people out there, whatever, you want to keep the curtains drawn. So if something does get thrown through a window and you don't have any sort of protective film on it, which is one of the things that you can do, then you want to make sure that that broken glass is not going to harm family members. There are things that you can do to be able to, I mean, you treat it like a home invasion. So there are ways that you can harden your home. You want to make sure that your doors and windows are locked at all times. This is even if there isn't a mob going up and down your street. This is just common practices that you would have there. Having cameras installed so that you can see where people are out on your property. Having any sort of an alarm system set so that would also go off and at least notify authorities of where you are. Even if it's just a helicopter coming by to buzz over your place, whatever it is, anything that you can do to make a lot of noise and let people know that they could possibly be caught, that's what people don't want. All right, so there are ways actually harden your home like that. All right. Tip number 6 for your, which is still in the home category, is to have an escape plan. So it could be that you are going to be stay at home, but when something does happen, it's again, you don't want to be there. So enacting your evacuation plan, you should have an escape plan to instantly get out of your home. Just as in any sort of a natural disaster or any other crisis, this is not the time for you to be preparing. You should already have a plan right now to escape and evade your home. So you want to have your car combat parked. In other words, you want to have it backed into a parking space. You don't want to have to back out of your garage or your driveway or anything like that. You want to be able to have, I always park my car in backwards in my garage, all right? So that way you can just get in there and just pull straight out. You also might want to have an alternative means of transportation, because if the streets are all blocked off, you might be able to go up and down lawns in your neighborhood, but having some other means to escape. If you really do have to get out of there, do you have bicycles that are ready to go where they don't have flat tires? Those types of things. Or if you are in a vehicle out on the road and you have to get out of some place and you notice that there are problems up ahead of you and you can't turn around, that you do have that alternative means of transportation. Now, we talk about this as one of the evacuation, like the different phases of an evacuation and what you need to be prepared for. Alternative transportation is one of those things that you should have there, okay? Also, for your escape plan from your home, you want to make sure that you do have your bug out bag ready to grab and go. This is an all the time thing. Life or death is measured in sometimes seconds. All right. So it's a matter of how fast you can get out of that place, out of your home, and get out to safety. All right. It's going to make a huge difference there. Now, if you're not all around your family, you always want to make sure that you do have a rally plan for your entire family. And that may not mean coming back to your home so you can all leave in one place. You want to have alternative rally points placed around, you know, different areas of the city so that they are strategically located where, well, kids aren't in school right now, but where you might have a spouse at work or you might be at work, a place that you can go to that has, that everyone knows how to get there. It's an easy way to get there. It can be got there even without a vehicle, so you can all rally up. So again, another reason for bicycles or some other alternative means of transportation. Now again, that's not what you want to try and do. Okay, if you can get in your vehicle, at least you're going to have some hardening there. I don't want to be out in the middle of a mob, obviously, either on foot or in a bicycle. But to get someplace quickly as you possibly can, a bicycle can get there a lot faster than being on foot, and you can still take more remote areas and more remote routes and trails that are off the beaten path, such as power line areas, railroad tracks, things like that, that might be able to help you get to other locations a lot easier and be away from where crowds actually are out on the urban streets. All right. So that's at home. So now let's go ahead. If you're in your vehicle and you do encounter a crowd, all of a sudden. All right. So tip number 7 here is to drive defensively. So first, in preparing your vehicle, you can harden your vehicle with like things like window film, because the first thing that somebody, a crowd is going to do is try and break through your window. So you can harden it with window film. Just know this also works against you if you're trying to escape the vehicle. Also, if you are in an accident somehow, it basically shatters the window, but it doesn't shatter it into pieces that blow a big hole in it. The side windows will actually crack, and because of that film there, it's like a thick tape, and it's harder for somebody. It's really meant for break-ins, to be able to stall somebody who's trying to break into your vehicle to steal stuff. Well, if you do have a mob around your car, it can help a little bit with getting people so that they just can't break through the window and pull you out of it. It's going to give you a little bit more of a reaction time here, okay? When you are driving, though, so that's hardening your vehicle just in general, but when you are driving, you want to constantly be scanning. Now, this is something you should always do anyway, but you should always be ready for an instant ambush, all right? So a lot of people in the military know there's lots of things. I mean, anytime that you're out on the road, whether you're in convoy or alone, there's always the opportunity for an ambush or an improvised explosive device or something. But that same kind of mindset you should always have when you're driving. Now, I did this also in executive protection, where you never know when you're going to be penned in and somebody try and take your client. So there are some things that you can do to drive defensively in that way and be ready for an instant ambush or an instant mob or crowd. You want to avoid the middle lanes as much as possible to be able to give you room to maneuver around obstacles. And you do want to give yourself enough room to maneuver around those obstacles. So you never want to pull up right behind another car at a red light. You always want to make sure like you can see their wheels. That gives you enough room to go left or right of them if you have to. Don't worry about going over curbs and things like that. I mean, you need to go where you need to go. No U-turn does not mean no U-turn. Like if you are driving along and you see that there are vehicles that are stopped up and it doesn't look like it's, you know, it's not rush hour or something that looks like where it could possibly be something that would be normal traffic, especially if you hear honking horns, because when there are mobs surrounding vehicles, most people will actually honk their horns as a way of basically telling people to stop or stop what they're doing or get out of the way or anything like that. So if you hear a lot of horn beeping, that's another clear indicator that there could be a lot of trouble up there. You want to turn around and get out of Dodge as quickly as you possibly can, all right? So let's move on to number 8, which is if you are stopped and you are surrounded by people, to drive offensively. Now, you have to recognize that if you are suddenly surrounded by people and you're in your vehicle, you're in a death trap. You are in a death trap. That vehicle is not going to give you much defensive capabilities there for very long, unless you are all armored up and you have bulletproof glass and you've got all that kind of stuff there. Yeah, then you are going to be, well, you know, you might be able to wait for the cavalry to come there, possibly, but not necessarily. So you have to really escape, but you don't want to leave the vehicle, obviously, because you got a bunch of people out there that are going to take you down. Now, the go-to reaction here would be to try and floor it and be able to just drive through the crowd. that's not going to work. The bodies are going to get hit. You're going to enrage all the people around you even more, because especially if you kill somebody, all of a sudden now you're looking for even more trouble here. So you don't want to floor it, because that vehicle is going to get stopped by people. Either you're not going to be able to see and you're going to drive into something that you don't want to drive into, or you're literally going to be driving over bodies and people are going to either tip you over very quickly, stop you, or you're going to get hung up on some sort of obstacle, even if that's a pile of bodies, and you're not going to be able to go anywhere. Instead, what you want to do is you want to drive slowly, and that way people can get it in their minds that, like, they're not going to lay down for a slow-moving vehicle and let you drive over them. Especially if there are people that are banging on your windows and you can't see anything, they're going to try and push your vehicle back. They're going to try and literally push your, I've seen this, the people will try and push your vehicle back. If you drive slowly, they're not going to be able to push the vehicle, but they are going to get out of the way. Now, you don't know, I mean, somebody could jump out, like, if you just get enough people that will try and jump out of the way all at one time there, you might be able to get yourself free at some point there by driving over, over lawns, things like that, getting people to, I mean, just going near trees, anything that you can do to kind of keep the crowd away from your vehicle, it might be able to give you a space that you are able to maneuver away from them. And that is where you want to, as soon as you see a break, that is when you floor it. You try and get out of the area as quickly as possible as soon as it opens up in front of you. All right. Now, people will also think that maybe firing your weapon is going to give you some time to be able to get some clearance out of there. It will not. It will get you about 3 to 5 seconds of clearance. Now, I've seen this also in a mob around a vehicle. Bullet goes off, everybody moves away from the vehicle, and it's almost like a vacuum effect. People move away, and then instantly they come back in to try and get back in, back on top of that vehicle. And they're going to be even more ferocious. They're going to break through windows. They're going to pull you out. You're pretty much gone at that point. All right. So firing your weapon is an option. If somebody does break through your window and they're trying to get to you, you might have to. I mean, that is a lethal scenario there. So if you do, for whatever reason, if your life is in danger, you end up firing your weapon and you see the whole crowd move away from your vehicle, you get the hell out of there. I know that sounds like it's like common sense, but it's not when the adrenaline is flowing through your body. You might think that everyone just moved away and you're going to have your weapon there trained to be able to, you know, start shooting again. You might start yelling at them. It's not the time to sit there and, you know, get out of your vehicle and try and, you know, show any bravado or anything like that. You've got an opening there. Take your vehicle, look for your escape route, decide on it, take action, hit the gas, and get the hell out of Dodge. All right? They're going to chase after you. People on the other side of the vehicle, if your weapon is pointed outside of the one side, people are going to be on the other side. They're going to get in eventually. All right? So we've seen this happen before. All right? Okay. Speaking of weapons, let's talk about defense for the last ones here. Okay? So number 9 is to be smartly armed. So I've seen a few videos that have been out there for these protests and these riots that have been happening, and one guy that got out of his vehicle and started yelling out, "All lives matter," not just Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. And he took out a bow and arrow. Wasn't even fast about it. Had a little problem putting the arrow into the notch there, or to knock the arrow, and actually fired it at somebody in the crowd. Now, I saw somebody go down. It's hard to imagine that an arrow would actually make somebody fall at their feet. This isn't Game of Thrones here. But it did not take long for somebody, you know, for the entire crowd to just close in on this person with a bow and arrow. Folks, you're not going to do anything with a bow and arrow. My son has he bought a crossbow for the cootie pandemic. I know. But anyway, like, even that thing, like, after you fire it, yeah, it's powerful and it is accurate. And then you got to put another bolt in there. So no, you need to be smartly armed. I did see another video of somebody who was apparently defending a neighborhood with a machete, and there was a mob there, and they started chasing after him, and he started running away, but then he decided to go after one of the guys in the that was in the mob, and the rest of the mob managed to take him down and get him unconscious. Basically, I've seen this kind of mentality even in gang fights. up close and personal. And what happens is when you go down, everybody starts kicking. They go for the head. They football kick to the head. They stomp on the head. People don't know just how easy it is for a person to die. They just don't realize. And so football kicking some unconscious guy's face is a lethal move. This person ended up not dying, so thankfully. But I saw somebody else come in with a brick, a cement brick, and throw it at the guy's head. So we've seen, remember the LA riots and everything that happened there. I mean, bricks are their common weapons here. So just know that it is a lethal thing here, but you need to be smartly armed. All right. So one of those would be a concealed handgun, and keep it concealed unless you need to use it. So this is not the time for you to break it out and start waving it around to be able to threaten other people, because you're going to get clocked up back side of the head with an aluminum baseball bat when you're not looking. When you show a handgun out there, the police don't know if you're a good guy or a bad guy. The criminals want that gun. If they think they can get it, or even if it's just they think that it's all a bunch of bravado and the mob just closes in on you, you're going to get people that are potentially going to do that. Again, they're not thinking in their right mind either here, okay? Other things you want to consider are less than lethal options for your home, for yourself, for your vehicle. So I've talked about some of these before when it comes to either home invasion or especially inside of your vehicle in an evacuation scenario. I like tasers. There is a taser that we often promote here. It's been called a few different things, like the Slayer, the Execution Torch. I don't really like those names for it. But it is basically a baton that has a taser element to it that works really well. You can use it for keeping people out of your vehicle if they do smash through. It can be very effective for that. Also, pepper foggers. So these are large spray canisters that you can use. They're used for riot control. You can get them. I do have one in my vehicle. I also keep pepper spray on me. I am a believer in pepper spray. It can be used very effectively. So that is an option there. Also, fire extinguishers. Fire extinguishers can, I mean, not the ones that shoot out a stream like, that it looks almost like wasp spray, right? You want something that is truly like has a, it's gonna put out like a massive foam, like it's gonna blow out like quite a cloud there. Okay, so that's where you're looking. You can use that also to gain some space around your vehicle, or keep people at bay if you need to, and be able to find a way an exit out of there. Okay, so those are some off the wall types of defensive measures that you might be able, or weapons that you might be able to use there. But you do also need to be prepared for lethal threats. All right, just know that it is a last resort. A firearm actually is going to be your best bet. Actually, even though that guy got his ass beat with the machete, he didn't really know how to use the machete. So it's, I've told a tale of there 81-year-old guy in India during the Amritsar riots that used the same system that I train people in for combat machete, which is Gutka. One 81-year-old guy basically killed, it was like over 100 people lying dead at his, and they were able to keep, four warriors were able to use swords for keeping an entire mob away from the holy temple in Amritsar for the Sikhs there. So there are ways to be able to use something like that, but projectile weapons are the weapon of choice for rioters. So they are going to throw things. So unless you're like Wonder Woman and you can like take your machete and blast things out of the, out of midair, bricks out of midair, I don't recommend it as a long-term strategy here, but actually machetes can be effective when you know how to use them. All right. And they can be less than lethal also by using the spine of the machete, the alternative side, the other side, than the blade. That's going to be non-lethal, side of it. But if you're whack out there having to use a machete, most likely you're in a lethal scenario. Just know that, again, a firearm is a last resort because it can backfire on you, either with rioters or legally. Now, just know that rule of law is going to happen at some point here. So when the protests go down, any of the bodies that you've got buried in your backyard or littered out in your front yard out in the playscape, you're going to have to answer for those. The rioters are typically going to fight back. And again, fire is a very common thing. So if you shoot from your home or anything like that to try and keep people away, just be ready. There is going to be a Molotov cocktail headed in your direction up to the roof of your home here within about 2.5 minutes, I would say. So not a good place to be. Again, that's why not being there is always the best case there. All right. And also, I say this, and nobody ever pays attention to me, but extra ammo, folks. This is one of the reasons why I don't go with the typical, you know, the number of rounds shot in a typical robbery is only 2 to 3, because you never know when you're going to be facing a gang situation in even a robbery, a home invasion scenario, or you come into a mob or riot scenario. And so you need to be prepared for having extra ammunition. Now, I always, you know, I ask people that are carrying a concealed weapon if they carry extra ammo, and only about 1% of people actually do. You should be carrying extra ammo with you. In this type of situation, you're absolutely going to need it if you ever had to use your firearm in self-defense there. So part of being smartly armed is to have the extra ammunition. All right. And finally, tip number 10 is another mindset thing, which is no, you can't defeat a mob. Now, I wish the guy with the bow that was outside of his vehicle yelling at the crowd, "All lives matter," had heard this podcast before that actually happened. But there's no going back in time. But folks, you can't defeat a mob. I don't care if you are armed. I don't care if you've got your buddies there with you either. Stones, signs, fire, skateboards, they're all weapon for looters and rioters. And you are going to get clocked with a brick at some point. All right. You are going to get clocked from somebody in the back of the crowd there that is just going to heave something at you. And then all of a sudden, all it takes is one moment of distraction and then you've got a swarm around you. All right. Your best defense, if you are truly in an area that there is a mob, there are protests happening and things like that, your best defense is going to be to blend in. Plain and simple, folks. I don't care about your pride or anything like that. This is about survival. So you chant what they are chanting. You listen to what they're chanting. You shake street signs. You keep a black hoodie and scarf in your vehicle if that's what it takes, right? Like you want to have, we talk about that in our social chaos, escape and evasion manual about having something that you can change your appearance if you need to, especially in an evasion scenario. If you do have people that are chasing after you, right? So let's say that you did manage to break away with your vehicle. But you get stopped elsewhere and you got to get out of the vehicle. You've been able to stop, get out. You've got an avenue of escape and you start running there. Are there things that you can do to be able to change your appearance? So if they're looking for somebody in a white shirt, you now have a hoodie on, right? Or you've got some sort of a scarf on. So now you're blending in. You know, Antifa, they're the way that they look is going to be with a black hoodie, maybe sunglasses and a black mask or a scarf. So those are things that you can keep with you in an E&E bag. We call it our scram bag, our social chaos response and mobility bag, to be exact. And some of the things you can have on there that'll help you escape. All right. So your best defense though is to always blend in with the mob until you can find a place that you can escape out of there. So pretend you're a rioter, pretend you're a protester, and then get the hell out of Dodge when you can. All right. All right. So this is just a quick rundown, but there's a lot. I mean, there are 10 tips there, but there's a whole lot of tips inside of there too. If you really want to dig into this, if this is something, and which I think this is a skill that everybody should have. All right. But if you really want to dig further into escape and evasion for civil unrest, martial law, and a city in panic, then you might want to go over and check out our Social Chaos Escape and Evasion Manual. It's over at socialchaossurvivalguide.com. You can go check it out there. And it does go deep, much deeper into ways that you can escape mobs, blend in, things that you can do preparation-wise, things about there's more stuff in weapons about in there. There's actually some, we did something very different in that guide in that there's kind of like a scenario driven, kind of an action sequence at the very end that helps you kind of take all the tips and kind of put them into use where if you're being, you come across actually this type of, this type of a scenario, and all of a sudden you're being chased after by a mob in ways that you would escape and evade that. All right. So there's a really cool kind of adventure feature in that I think you'll like, as well as learning all of the tips that are inside of there. All right. So you can go check that out over at www.socialchaossurvivalguide.com. All right. What I'd like to hear from is you. So what are your tips for social chaos escape and evasion for civil unrest and looters? Go ahead and leave your comment on our blog over at moderncombatandsurvival.com. And until our next broadcast, this is Jeff Anderson saying prepare, train, and survive.
Modern Combat and Survival.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. You can help us out by rating our podcast on iTunes and leaving a comment. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Modern Combat and Survival. And don't forget to claim your free subscription to Modern Combat and Survival magazine at www.moderncombatandsurvival.com. Lock and load. And we'll see you next time. This has been Modern Combat and Survival.